So now I'm going to start in. I'm going to tell you a couple of stories that happened around home when I was a young feller. And you can see how tough we were, because this first story I'm going to tell you is about an old maid that lived near home when I was a young feller. When I first remembered her, she was around, I'd say 42 years old. And she lived alone in her parents' house, and she was the only child there was in the family, because the people said around there that when she was born, that her parents took one look at her, and they both died of a heart attack. She was brought up by her aunt until she was old enough to come back in her own house and live, and she didn't have to work for a living, because her father was a deep sea captain, and he left her enough money to get by on, but I always thought by the look of her, it was something he brought back from the jungle. She was a long, tall woman, old, 6 feet tall, and she weighed about 100 pounds. And she had the longest legs on her of any one woman I'd ever seen. And the people, women around there said that every night she went to bed, she had to wind her legs up on a spool to get them under a blanket. Well, I wouldn't know about that, but she was had a figure about like aluminum ladder with a coat thrown over it. And she was a very plain woman. In fact, that she was so plain that every time she went in the kitchen, the clock would put his hands up over his face. It couldn't stand the sight of her. She had the longest nose on her of any woman I ever seen. I'd seen them that long before, but they was always joined in the middle, but hers was in one piece. And every time she went from one room to another, she had to back up twice to line her nose up with the doorway. So one morning in the winter, sharp frosty morning, she was going to mail some letters, and she met a gentleman neighbor of hers on the road, and he said, "Good morning, May. How do you like this for cold winter morning?" "Oh," she said, "it's all right, but I don't like it," she said. She said, "My nose gets so cold." She said, "What can I do to keep my nose warm?" "Well," he said, "rub snow on it as far as you can reach, and then snowball the rest of it." Well, she didn't think much of him after that. She never had a boyfriend in her life, not even one to walk across the road with her. Now, I will admit the boys in our territory was tough, but they wasn't that tough. And she puttered around and figged around the flower gardens and had a little tiny vegetable garden out back of the house. And in the wintertime, she'd done some fancy sewing and knitting, things like that. So that went along. She's about 47. And when she got around 47, 48, she started complaining of being sick all the time. And she'd go to bed a couple of days, and she'd get up a couple of days, and when she was in bed with the women in the neighborhood, they had to take the turns going in looking after her. And they kept this up, and after a while, one woman said to her, she said, "May," she said, "have you ever had the doctor to find out what was wrong with you?" And May said, "No." Well, she said, "I'm going to call the doctor," she said, "and then have him check you over and see what's wrong with you." And May said, "All right." So this woman sent the older brother down to telephone. He had to go about 3 miles to telephone to call the old doctor in Bear River, and he was an old fella, and he kind of a rough old guy. And so he come out that afternoon with a horse and wagon. Those days he didn't have cars, and he gave her a general overhaul, and I guess he even checked the oil and checked the water in the radiator, and he couldn't find anything wrong with her. So he said, "May, there isn't anything wrong with you." He said, "You're a healthy woman." He said, "Get up out of that bed and get it going." And he said, "What you need," he said, "is a man take the kinks out of you." Well, those days we had a paper called the Family Herald Weekly Star, and there was a couple of pages in there where you could correspond with people all over Canada, here and there, and make friends if you wanted, just a friendship, or there's people in there that was writing in there to get a man or a woman to get married. So this old maid, she went to work, and she found a guy out in Winnipeg, so she started writing to him. And she wrote him a while, and the older brother was mailing the letters for her at that time, down at the post office. And she'd write about 3 letters a week, and he said that every letter he took down at the post office that she had written to that man, there was blue smoke coming out of the envelope. I guess she was pretty desperate. So this went along for about 4 or 5 months, and one day she asked my older brother if he'd take the ox and go down to the Clemensport station and meet this man. He was coming on the train, he was coming down bringing everything he had, and he was going to marry her, and he was going to live happy ever after. My brother said, "Yeah, he'd go." So he asked me if I would go, down helping load the things on the wagon. I said, yeah. So the morning came, we started, and we got down there before the train got in. We waited, and after a while, the train came in, and they stopped, and they started in dumping off trunks and boxes and suitcases, and we started putting them on the wagon. And way down the train further, this other fellow got off and hollered, hey, what are you doing? It's my things. And we said, we're putting them on the wagon, take them out to May. He said, how do you know I'm the man? We said, oh, we know you're the man, all right, because if anybody else gets off of this train than one man here at one time, they declare the public holiday, so you've got to be the man. So he said, what's she like, what's she like? And we said, you'll see, you'll see. So he kept asking us what she was like, and we kept saying, you'll see, you'll see. So we loaded the things on the wagon, we started for home, and he said, well, he didn't know Canada's such a big country. He said, this is the first time he ever traveled, and he said that, you know, he said, I was on that train 4 days and four nights to get here. And my brother said, well, why didn't you come by airplane? You could have made it in 2 days, he said. And he said, airplane? No, sir. He said, there's not enough money in this world to get me on an airplane. He said, I'm scared to death of him. So we kept talking. After a while, we ride the old maid's home. We drove up front the door of the wagon, and she came out to meet him. He looked up there, and he took one look, and he turned green. And he caught the next air flight back to Winnipeg. I guess he was more scared of her than he was the airplane. So after that, she didn't bother to advertise for any more men. She started in going back to bed and staying a little longer each time. And the women folks had to take their turns going in looking after her. And when she got to be about 65, she didn't bother to get up at all. She stayed in bed. So she stayed alone at night. And she told him not to lock the door, leave the door open night. She said a stranger might come in and want to see her and want to marry her. And she said not to lock the door. Well, he had to be a stranger, and he'd have to have been from another planet, because she was horrible. So anyway, this went along. She was about, 73 or 4, something like that. And there was a young fellow in our neighborhood. He was around about 23, and he wasn't such a bad guy, but he was just one of those types that would do anything. So anyway, he saw her, knew she was living alone, and he went down one night by her place, and he had to go down to his neighbors there. And in those days in the fall, they all made cider, and he went down to his neighbors, and he got tanked up on old cider. And coming back, he had to go by this old maid's place, so he knew she was alone, so he went in the house, and he went upstairs, and he went in the room, and he took advantage of her. And when he was done, he jumped up, and he started in running down the stairs and out the house, down the road. And the old maid jumped out of bed, started running after him. He said when he was going down the road, he looked over his shoulder to see how close she was behind, and he said there she was, standing at the gate, waiting for him to come back. Well, the next morning she got up bright and early. She walked 15 miles. She got a job in the Lumber and Woods of Dave's Lumber Company, cutting pulpwood. Well, she cut 2 cord a day and piled it and whistled while she worked and found all of her own fault. And she stayed there until she was around 90. When she got to be 90, she decided she'd retire and go home. And she came home. She potted around the flower gardens and vegetable gardens, done a little fancy work. And this went on until she was about 101. And she decided then her chances of getting a man was pretty slim. So she decided to do away with herself. So anyway, she ate all the bug death and rat poison there was in the neighborhood and never faced her one bit. In fact, she gained 10 pounds. Well, one night after that, she was out in the garden working. There was a young fellow sneaking by, because everybody, the young fellows were scared of her, and they'd always sneak by on the opposite side of the road. So she called this young fellow over to the side of the road. She told him she'd give him $5 if he'd bump her off sometime with a rifle when she didn't know anything about it. Well, he jumped at the chance, because the going price around there for bumping the guy off at that time was 50 cents, and he thought he was rich. So one night she was out pulling weeds in the garden, and he saw his chance. So he decided that he'd load this old infield up and go over along the fence, crawl through the grass, get up close to her, and he'd bump her off. So he loaded this old infield up with hard-nosed bullets, and he took off, and went along the fence, and he crawled up. He said he'd get up close to her, and she was bent down pulling weeds. And he said he put three of those hard-nosed bullets through her head and never knocked her off her feet. Said she just shook her head and kept on pulling weeds. But she did complain of a slight headache after that. She said the wind whistling through those holes in her head gave her a headache. Well, the people in the community, the leading men in the community, they saw they had to do something to get rid of her because she wouldn't die on her own. You couldn't shoot her. So they sharpened her like a fence post, and they drove her in the swamp across the road in the house. And the spot where they drove her in the swamp, boy, it killed the grass for 100 yards around. And the young fellow took advantage of her. Boy, he has a car now. And he said every night that he drives by that spot, there she is standing down there in the swamp with a nightgown, beckoning for him to come down. Well, I guess that she never forgot him. She always remembered it. And that shows you how tough the old maids were in our country.